Oh my god, we are back on air for Sake Bomb a Go Go. My name's Mal, with me as always.
Chromie, except that two times.
Oh, it's okay. We're not keeping. We're not keeping track. And this is, of course, the show dedicated to bringing you awesome, awesome music from Japan, Korea, and other, but mostly Japan. And some Korea, but mostly Japan. Okay, I think I stressed my point.
And other places, but.
I gotta start reaching out to some of these bands and from Japan. Before, I know you have a couple of interesting things to talk about.
I don't know about how interesting they are, but
I have an incredible story coming full circle. I know a couple times I've talked about the whole story about finding Lulu's marble and love it, and, you know, getting the thing and then, oh my god, and never finding out. For years, I've been trying to find out what happened, how the lead singer of Lulu's Marble passed away, because the band was cut short because the singer died.
Right.
And when I found out, I was heartbroken, even though this was years after the fact. But it was one of those things where you're like, I just discovered this band I was in love with. Then I just discovered that there was only three albums. Then I discovered there'd never be more. You know, and I was like, ah!
It was like you just started watching this awesome show, and you find out after you get through season one that it was canceled abruptly halfway through season three, and you'll never find out how any of this ends.
And over these years, as I was buying up whatever I could find from these, from them, and buying up the 45s and the records and anything I could get, I'm reaching out to these people that are in the know. I reached out to Kanji at Time Bomb. I reached out to Audrey Benton from Benton Records, and I'm kind of like, what happened to Akko? What happened to her? Does anyone know? And no one could give me these answers. And I reached out to this one guy who had a page that got taken down that streamed all these kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
But it was streaming all this kind of stuff without permission. That's why. Because he just said she passed away. I reached out to him. Nobody could answer this freaking question. Lo and behold, I'm reading through my Rockin' Jelly Bean book. And he is the bass player for Jackie and the Cedrics, which is a band out of Japan.
Rockin' Jelly Bean is?
Yeah.
Huh.
That's what I'm saying. Like, this guy's, he has his pulse on the finger. Or his finger's on the pulse. Or pulse on the finger. I don't care.
Yeah. So it's their finger on his pulse.
Yeah, it's crazy. You know,
he's not tracking the trends. He's making them.
Which immediately made me think, well, if this is the bass player from Jackie and the Cedrics, there he is. What's with the luchador mask when he's in public? I don't care. That's just his shtick. You don't see his face in public.
Huh.
But it's on the back of a Jackie and the Cedric CD. It's right there. It's like, whatever. So he's...
Well, it's like your poster over there.
Now. Oh, yeah, I guess. So I'm reading this book, and I read about how he had this. He drew this cover, and he got together a compilation album. And I was like, and it's just like, whatever. It's just, you know, the Rockin' Jelly Beans... jukebox or juke jumping something. And I was like, well, that's awesome. And I immediately found it and bought it off of a vinyl place. So I had this record.
For a nickel?
No.
You're like, no.
No, it wasn't super expensive. That's why I bought it. It with shipping, it was $12. And I was like, well, I'm throwing that all day long.
And let's be honest, that's different than picking up a Weird Al from a garage sale.
It sure is. So I discovered this guy, and he wrote about how he would never do it again because it was so horrible. Because, like, by the time he got it, through it was like Dionysus?
Dianetics?
No.
Ron Hubbard?
No, by the time he got through this process of getting the music and getting it okayed and getting it...
getting all the rights.
He'll never do it again. But one of the songs is from Lulu's Marble, and I was like, yes! And all kinds of good music. And I'm playing this music, and I'm reading this the album cover and looking at it, and stuff you do with an album.
It was in English?
Yeah.
Hmm. Cool.
This record is dedicated to Akko, who died in a car crash after they okayed using it. And I was like, oh my god, this puzzle, this answer I've been searching for years, since 2011.
Just fell into your lap,
just
sort of
fell
randomly.
Because I read a book. And
I was thinking you were going to find out he had a connection to them somehow, and you emailed him, and he actually...
No.
I was thinking it was going to be this... But it was pure happenstance.
It was pure happenstance because I like his art. I bought his book. I like his idea. His
while
style.
You were in Japan,
yeah.
There's so many facts. This book that you actually had to go back and find, because I don't know if you ever talked about this on here.
I didn't.
You saw this at a bookstore wandering around,
but it was expensive.
But it was expensive, so you were like, "I'm not getting it. I'll get it on Amazon." So later that day or the next
went
day,
to eat And I went, you looked it I gotta
up,
get that book.
You looked it up on Amazon, and it was like twice as much.
And like, and then
suddenly
snapped.
You're like, okay, it wasn't that expensive. But then you couldn't find the damn bookstore.
It was hours from walking around this cold weather, but I found it. And, you know, and it just was one of those things where it was funny because
which led to the book, which led to the record, which led
to the answer. Yeah. I dig this guy's style. And I've always have. He's done a lot. He's in the world that this show lives in, that my brain and love for that music
this
lives
cool
in. Like
retro with Asian flared rockabilly, kind of not exactly, kind of pin up, not exactly, yeah, pump, not yeah. exactly.
Because he's self-described like lowbrow art.
Mm-hmm.
His stuff is insanely sexual. It's crazy.
The funny thing is you hear lowbrow art and it sounds like something that's going to be crap. That sounds like you're talking down about it. I've never liked that name. And it's that way on purpose because it's supposed to be kind of self-depreciating a little bit.
Yeah.
But deprecating. Then but it's not. It's actually good stuff. It's just a style that's completely different from what you'd see in a classic gallery.
And his stuff is totally beautiful. It's also, if you want to buy a mural, it's thousands and thousands of dollars. Also, I couldn't show my mom that mural because it's insanely graphic.
Well, not all of his stuff.
No, it isn't. But you know,
you're like, but what I want on my wall is.
No, I'm gonna seek out some of the stuff and get it, and you know, I have some framed stuff from him just from the 5678s posters, but it all started to make sense. And then when I saw that, I was like, man, like you're saying though, like if it was an American band that broke up and the singer died, you'd say drugs, but that doesn't make sense in Japan. They have some problems, but not. You don't hear about that a lot. They're not. You don't hear a lot of smackheads dying, you know, right. And you're like, so I was like, I can't think that. I don't know. And that's an American thought process. But then a car crash, and I was like, oh, that's sad. But anyway, enough without that. Here is some Lulu's Marble to kick off in honor of me finding out what happened to you. If you're listening from heaven, your music still rocks.
You don't know the power of the dark side.
Yeah. to speed up to New Orleans. Hey, 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 yeah.
Hey, 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 yeah.
I said, hey, 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 yeah.
Hey, 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 yeah.
Come on, everybody, tell me be themselves. Listen to another way of making a man. Down the Mississippi, down to New Orleans. I said, hey, hey.
Nature to destroy yourselves.
Yeah. Major drag, huh?
Ah, there you go. Wasn't that nice? Of course it was. That was off of Lulu Marble's Afro Girl. my very first Lulu Marbles record. I played Lulu and Lover's Love, Lulu and Lover's Lover, New Orleans and Spice Powder. Enjoy it. So, what do we got going on this week? I know I talked about a little bit of, about the my yard sale finds last show. Got some Wii stuff, some old games. Now that they're in there, the very bottom bin. Wii.
It's coming into its prime time for you.
This is when you soak it all in, baby. I'll give you a nickel and they're happy to get rid of it. You get the Wii stuff, PlayStation 2, whatever. Xbox is like a joke. Like, they're worthless.
The original.
Yeah, the original one. So, I mean, anytime you stumble upon that stuff, because now's the time, because soon it'll be collectible, and some idiot will start making it cool to have every weekend.
Mal's planning his retirement.
But yeah, so I'm just grabbing it up when I can grab it up, man. And it's funny because I ordered a sleeve of 25 of those white things.
The clamshells.
Clamshells. Yeah. I try to save them if I can because they're branded Wii. Mm-hmm. But if it's just total trashed or if there's totally you can't save them. Yeah. Chuck them out, and you can put in a brand new little white clamshell, and off it goes. It looks brand new. So that's all good stuff. But you, I think you had a topic you wanted to talk about for the sake bomb this week.
Yeah. North Korea.
Yes, North Korea.
And normally that would seem like a weird,
what's
dry
the
topic.
Deal with however, North Korea?
However, two factors in there is some wacky stuff. Possibly good wacky stuff that seems to be happening with them this year.
Very good
as stuff. Well as, you know, a unique perspective from you as a strange man in a strange land who has some firsthand experience with people living under the threat of possible nuclear annihilation on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So,
I was really encouraged.
So yeah, so just for those of you that are listening, in case you're not up on all this, we have a president that seems like he might be mentally deranged and unhinged, which might be part of his shtick. We can't really tell for sure. That'll be something we find out.
That's for history to decide.
Yeah, that's for history to decide. He kind of came into this North Korea situation that's been going on for, you know, since the Korean War ended in an armistice. We didn't actually ever have peace. They just basically said, we're going to stop shooting each other for a while.
But they still did.
We reserve the right to go right back to it at any moment.
They still did weird stuff throughout the years. Lots of weird stuff, you know.
They definitely pushed their end of it a lot. And, you know, there's a lot of politics involved with it. China's been propping them up, mostly because China did not want to have the Korean Peninsula go entirely to a U.S. ally and have us right on their border, which is understandable. So for a long time, they kind of propped up this crazy regime where all kinds of wacky stuff goes on inside their borders.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only reason North Korea survived. But,
I mean, I think
from... It's because China wanted them to survive.
From the way I heard it, you know, when they were trying to call the truce, I think Patton was the one that... I think, wasn't it Patton? I don't know.
Not sure.
Or MacArthur. Somebody was basically like, don't stop, just keep running them over until you hit China. Like, he was like, no, don't sign that. Let me keep killing people, you know?
Right.
And then they just said, no, we're going to stop. And he's like, you.
That was kind of the beginning of the modern era, which was, it's kind of hard to tell when a war's been won, because
the objective isn't
just defeat the enemy anymore. It's something else.
Yeah, it's always weird.
But,
I don't, one of the things, and you're going to have to help me with this, I'm sorry to cut you off. I heard about how North and South were kind of meeting to say enough of this.
And the crazy thing about that is that North and South have been cooperative on some things over the years, but also fiercely bitter. Like, the South has had loudspeakers for I don't know how long, just trying to pump propaganda at the border into North Korea. There have been, you know, people in South Korea that have, like, flown balloons with propaganda pamphlets and stuff into North Korea. Like, really antagonistic stuff.
Well, they're trying to, I think, and this is from, now I spent a year in South Korea, if you didn't know my background. I went over there to teach English to kids that didn't want to learn English. But you learn stuff.
It's like kids anywhere trying to teach them anything.
Of
a certain
and
age.
At one point, I had a discussion about it, North and South, and my handler was basically saying, well, the day that the wall came down in Germany, every Korean, in the South anyway, was heartbroken and jealous and was so envious because they're a nation divided. No matter how bitter and ugly this gets, they maintain, the South does anyway, that they're a nation divided and they don't want this. And right when I was there, old guy dies, young crazy guy comes in. Young kid.
Right.
And I was like, uh-oh. Young people are usually filled with lots of fighting, you know, and lots of dumb decisions, and I don't care about that, but...
And a lot of the stuff we heard about him in the news strongly implied that he was the worst one yet.
Yeah. I think... Now, and then, but we'll get to the... I don't understand how our president has decided that he's the one that did this, but I'll... Hold on a second. I'm not giving that credit. I'm sorry, I'm just not.
Right.
I think this kid realized that Korea, and the South Korea, has basically become the 17th, maybe even 15th or 16th strongest economy in the world within a span of 9 or 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and went, maybe instead of being poor and stupid, I can be rich and stupid, because they are rich.
Well, for the record, he is living the life of somebody who's rich and stupid.
His country is dying.
Yeah.
And anyone that escapes over there goes, oh my God, the South is doing quite well, you know.
You know, and it's, you know, we're told that these people are all led to believe that they're actually doing better than the rest of the world and that things are so much worse. Well, I mean, but we can verify it. But you wonder how much of that they believe because, you know, they export people to China. Basically, it's kind of like slave labor. They go work in menial jobs in China, and a big percentage of their income goes back to the government of North Korea. You've got, you know, diplomats and stuff and things that happen outside of the world. Like, you really have to wonder how much of a lid they're really keeping at this point on
maybe
the difference.
Maybe it's leaking. Because they're taught to hate us.
We don't know because nothing comes out of that country. So we don't know how devoted everybody actually is in this day.
We know the propaganda. Because I know they're taught that America is trying to kill them and hates them.
But is also poor and impoverished and
the reality
much
is,
worse off than them.
The reality is, I bet you if I polled everyone on my block, they wouldn't even know there was a North and South Korea. And if they did, they wouldn't care. They really underestimate how little Americans care about anything other than America. Like, I'm not... I guess I'm being kind of facetious or mean-spirited, but... We're just like, no one cares. I remember when I came back from Korea, a person I worked with came over and said, well, you can read this. What does this say? And she handed me a Chinese menu, and I was like, you realize that I was in a different country than Japan and China, right? And they just petered off, and I was like, huh. They don't care either.
Well, you know, the thing is to be fair, you know, we get a lot of flack in the global community for not being aware about the rest of the world. But the honest truth is that the rest of the world is not as plugged in as they would lead you to believe. Because when you look at a map and you realize that all of Europe could fit in less than half of our country.
Yeah.
And they don't understand everything going on in all of like they don't actually understand the ins and outs of all of it.
Yeah.
But they don't understand the sheer population, the sheer landmass, the difference of the fact that, you know, you've got a hurricane hitting Florida while you've got a freeze happening up, you know, up in the Northwest and a mudslide happening. You know, so much, we've got so much of our own crap and our own drama. And if you looked at us as 50 countries instead of 50 states, and a lot of our states are bigger than many other countries.
I showed them, one of the things I did for my kids in Korea, I showed them that South Korea fits inside of Florida 12 and a half times. They just looked at me, I was like, see this little tiny part where I live? I said, your country fits in that 12 times.
And that's one of 50 of ours.
Not even a big one. It's an okay one. But
we've got a really little one, and we've got Hawaii that's not that big. But for the most part, then we got Alaska, though, that's 50% of the size of our main.
It's interesting, but,
But I mean, that's something that a lot of people in the rest of the part of the world don't appreciate about our country is the fact that, you know, part of it is general ignorance. Part of it is a sort of a degree of popular isolation.
Yeah.
But the other thing is that you could live your entire life in this country and not actually be aware of everything going on in this country just because of the sheer size and the sheer
volume. No way, not even close.
So it's a lot easier for somebody here to not ever pay attention to outside of here because in Europe, you know, in one day you can cross, you know, four international borders.
Yeah, exactly.
And here, that wouldn't even get you to the other end of our country.
I will say,
in any direction.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to a break for some music, but I will say, I really
that wouldn't get you the other end of some of our states.
No. I really, really am, like, hopeful that this is true and has... Now, I mean, you can find the evil and everything, but I just hope that this comes down, the DMZ goes away, and they can be one country again.
Well, let's talk a little bit more of this out of the break.
All right, yeah, for sure. Well, here's music that isn't talking about stuff that... whatever.
This city is headed for a disaster of biblical proportion.
What do you mean, biblical?
What he means is Old Testament, Mr. Yes. Mayor. Real wrath of God type stuff.
Exactly.
Fire and brimstone coming down from the skies. Rivers and seas boiling.
40 years of darkness, earthquakes, volcanoes.
The dead rising from the grave.
Human sacrifice, dogs and cats living together. Mass hysteria.
as the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point. Natural selection, the process by which the strongest, the smartest, the fastest reproduced in greater numbers than the rest, a process which had once favored the noblest traits of man, now began to favor different traits. Most science fiction of the day predicted a future that was more civilized and more intelligent. But as time went on, things seemed to be heading in the opposite direction, a dumbing down. How did this happen? Evolution does not necessarily reward intelligence. With no natural predators to thin the herd, it began to simply reward those who reproduced the most and left the intelligent to become an endangered species.
All right, that was, of course, the Go-Devils from Super Stuff. I gotta get some more of the I keep saying this, I gotta get more of their stuff. But yes, I got their Super Stuff, so that should be enough. I got Last Time Around, Yes I Do, and Taste of Poison. Wow. Not Poison the hairband, thank God. Just Poison that.
You know what's weird is they actually... okay, I gotta talk about this for a second. They have a concert that's either just happened or about to happen in town. They're selling the tickets for it on Groupon. And it's at Al Lang Stadium, which is this little baseball stadium in downtown St. Pete on the waterfront. That used to be where the St. Pete Cardinals played, which was one of the bottom of the barrel feeder teams to the actual St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah,
I used to go see games there as a kid. You know, because they had like
Lenny's. And
yeah,
stuff.
They were like 50 cents. You know, you'd find coupons to get in for. You know, yeah, but it was a baseball stadium that's been converted to a soccer stadium. Outdoor thing, and Poison is playing there, and you could get Groupon tickets for like, I want to say it was like $20 or $30 for two people, and I'm like, yeah. Interesting, they're still touring, but I guess that's how.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, yeah, I'd pay $20 to not go see Poison.
Yeah.
So you had some interesting, not counterpoint, but like observations about the Korea.
I was going to say, you know, it's interesting on a few levels because, you know, what happened with the Winter Olympics where South Korea and North Korea played as a unified... They basically were represented as a single country in the Olympics and in the Winter Olympics, and that was a huge deal. And I know everybody in South Korea was, like, super stoked about that. They flew under one flag... Or they, you know, they competed under one flag.
Yeah.
And
they always say they feel broken.
Yeah. And to Trump's credit, kind of, sort of, I will say that he's the first president who's been willing to sit down directly with the leader of a North Korean regime.
Do you think Rodman helped that?
You know, you laugh. I mean, let me rephrase it. I laugh.
You should laugh, but yeah.
But at the same time, I'm pretty sure he was on the Celebrity Apprentice at some point, so who the hell knows?
Rodman's big in Korea, man, out of North Korea.
Both literally, because he's probably the tallest man. But also,
second follow-up question. Yeah. Do you think Trump talked to him because he wanted to make peace, or do you think he just didn't know that there was a North and South Korea?
Good question. But I will say that, you know, like, our past administrations have been very adamant that we would never work directly with them one-on-one. We wanted it to be multilateral. China and Japan and South Korea, like, we wanted all these other countries, and it felt a lot like it was kind of like never giving North Korea the feeling that they were being taken seriously. And you know, we were talking off air about kind of how, like, you know, Obama kind of did something similar with Cuba, where we were kind of just like, nope, you're the enemy. And at some point it's like, well, you know, we still have our differences. You're no existential threat to our country at all. Why the hell are we still doing this, you know? You know, and that's how I saw that when he kind of came out. It was like, look, this isn't helping anybody. Let's move on.
Yeah,
you know?
That's a good thing.
And in a way, to some degree, that kind of seems like what Trump is doing with North Korea. Now, North Korea is obviously a much stickier situation for a lot of reasons.
Well, if they ever make peace and then they do, like, open up the borders, as soon as they get a hold of South Park the movie, they're gonna nuke us. But that's okay, whatever.
Well, I'm sure they already know. They knew about the interview, you know, that movie with Seth Rogen.
They would nuke us if they had the ability. They keep saying they can, but I'm not buying it. I don't know, man.
And, you know, on that note, and after a meeting in preparations for their talks, they actually released three you know,
prisoners. Yeah.
Technically, they were just like U.S. citizens, but it's interesting though because there was no concession. You know, typically in the past when they released somebody last year who mysteriously died, like within a week of being and in that situation it was clear there was a problem and they did not want to have this U.S. citizen in their custody when he died.
Yeah.
So
that's a whole different level of
their
situation.
Goal was to ship him out as quickly as they could before he dropped dead. I mean, it's horrible to say, but I'm pretty sure that was their motivation there.
Dire consequences.
We don't want this happening here, so we're going to release you.
You can talk big, but if you do something real stupid and then you bring actual heat from a major player, like if China really wants something, that's kind of the end.
Yeah.
You know, they're powerful.
Right.
You know, to some degree, we're powerful. To some degree, Russia is still...
Russia is.
Parts of Russia are still very powerful, and God help you.
Yeah.
If you're one of these, if you do something hinky and sets something in motion that shouldn't be, you know.
But they let these guys go on basically kind of a good faith thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, and I wonder about like how that would work because I can't really see North and South Korea ever completely reunifying. I can't see them being one country because I don't see him giving up his dictatorship. And I don't see... control.
Yeah.
And the South obviously can't. I mean, the best I think you could hope for would be two countries that are now on good terms. You know, like a U.S.-Canada kind of situation.
I hope so. I mean, I really hope for the best.
Where the families and stuff... Everybody that's been separated all this time can now travel back and forth. North Korea can prosper. You know, I don't think it's going to be like a Germany, though, where it all goes back together.
Yeah, but, you never know.
But it doesn't have to be. But it could still be great, better. You know?
Yeah, and I'm hopeful. And then this is... Maybe I'm a little bit naive about that kind of stuff, but I really do wish that for them, you know, being... I'm not even a vested interest, but when you live someplace like that, they have part of your heart. You know? Japan and Korea both have part of my heart. Japan more because of my kids and all that kind of stuff that are there. But... I lived in Korea for a year.
You knew the people. You knew people there. That it's not just a country anymore. It's actually individuals.
And you kind of just go, well, you know, and
hell, you lived with their kids. You know, you were among their next generation.
So you know, I mean, when I saw that, I was like, oh God, I hope this works, and I hope it's not a ruse, and I hope it's just. Honest to goodness, let's be Korea again, and yay. Now, and like you're saying, the reality is it's not going to be that.
It's going to be complicated, but it could work out. And
it's worth it.
And the thing is that you look at it, and it's like, to me, in some ways, it's very similar to Cuba. It's like, what is anybody getting from this?
Nothing.
You know, obviously, China still doesn't want us right on their border there. But there's no reason the country between them and the country we're supporting have to be...
I don't even
isolationist a-holes, you know.
I don't even get the China thing. It's almost like they were just looking for someone to replace Russia, so they said China. China, we're so in debt to China with all our, you know, and buying and selling. There's nothing to be gained. What would they don't want it. They're not going to kill the golden goose. We're the ones sending them the money.
They're a regional power, basically. And the thing is we're a global power, and it's important for them to, in their neck of the woods, be in charge. And I get that.
We basically control the international
waterways. And, you know, we make things happen in the world in a lot of ways that benefit everybody. But, of course, you know, it's us doing it, so it's going to benefit us most.
Yeah.
And, you know, China is big enough that they look at that and go, like, we don't want to cede our general sovereignty to you by default because we're in a position where we can't. You know, stand up to you.
I mean,
and that's understandable.
I mean, that's not cool. I mean, yay for.
We wouldn't want China
telling us what to do.
Building a nuclear defense system right off our border in Mexico, exactly. Like we'd have a problem with that. I mean, hell, we control our hemisphere. We're saying, you know, our adversaries can't do anything within our hemisphere of the world.
That's all fake news anyway. Here's some music.
So I get it.
Yeah, here's some music. I hate talking about politics because I don't feel right doing it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it's crazy. And at that level, who knows how much of it even really matters anymore.
So I'm going on record and yay Korea.
Yeah.
And make this a good
hopefully
thing.
Hopefully it happens.
Yeah. Come and the next Olympics, be together and whip our butts. How do we do in the... hold on. Here's some music. We'll be right back.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
What?
Oh!
And we're going to play the first one of everybody here brought their songs. We've got music from Libido, which with Narita, who's here in the studio, and we've got two members of a group called 5678. And this is live. Let's see here. This is going to rock out on us. Got to wake up a little.
Welcome to a night of total.
Yeah. Go to the